When you become a monthly donor to WBEZ, you're doing more than just giving. You're joining a community of people who have skin in the game and are working to ensure everyone has access to trusted news. That's why we're proud to be 100% community funded. As June 30th approaches, WBEZ is preparing for another year without federal funding. A monthly gift ensures strong, independent journalism isn't weakened by political attacks. So join the community of supporters today at wbez.org/donate.
Good afternoon. I'm Lisa Labas, and this is The Rundown. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is launching an extra 5% tax credit incentive for film and TV productions to meet certain sustainability standards. In order to qualify, productions would have to be recognized as a certified green production by the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity. Sustainability benchmarks for productions include minimizing waste and reducing energy use and emissions. Pritzker says the initiative will promote economic opportunity for Illinois' growing film industry and set a new precedent for environmentally sustainable productions. Well, people all over the Chicago area are doing their part to help reduce waste. In 2024, nearly 500,000 tons of recyclables were collected in our region, and that's enough to fill Soldier Field about six times. A new study from the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus tracked recycling for six of the most populous counties in Illinois. MMC Director of Environmental Initiatives Edith Macra says the data is a crucial starting point.
Let's look at what those communities are doing well. Let's look at some of the communities that aren't doing as well and consider how our campaign can support engagement and education to make recycling understandable and to encourage recycling right.
Top of the list, West Suburban Lyle. It recorded a household average of 700 pounds of recyclables each year. Well, people all around the world today are showing their appreciation for Mother Nature. It is Earth Day. Gina Roxas is a citizen of the Prairie Band Potawatomi Nation and is executive director of the Trickster Cultural Center. And she tells our In the Loop program it's important for people to change our mindset about nature.
When we shift our vision to our perspective of land as a relationship, as a kin, as a relative, then there is so much to lose. It's not just the resource, it's not just the clean water or the land, but it's community.
Roxas says the Trickster Cultural Center works with conservation groups, park districts, and forest preserves to help create policy to protect land in Illinois. And the first round of the NFL draft begins tomorrow at 7 o'clock. The Chicago Bears hold the 25th pick, and barring a trade, it's going to be several hours into tomorrow night before the team will get to make any selections. The second and third rounds of the draft are Friday night, and rounds 4 through 7 wrap up on Saturday. You're listening to The Rundown. A year ago, West Suburban Broadview had a budget surplus and a cheery outlook, and now Broadview is preparing for the next fiscal year, and it faces a deficit along with unexpected and ongoing expenses. Broadview racked up nearly $400,000 in its own costs because of the Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility in town. Communities elsewhere have been shielded from costs associated with their ICE facilities. Broadview, though, has not. So I sat down to talk about it with Chicago Sun-Times reporters Lauren Fitzpatrick and Nader Issa. All right, Lauren, I'm going to start with you. Tell us a little bit about Broadview as a community and how the deportation campaign and the attention has made an impact on it.
Broadview now is synonymous with this thing that happened there. But before, the village really flew under the radar. And in a single word, you would describe it as modest. Mm-hmm. So in size, it's smaller than most Chicago wards and has under 8,000 residents. In terms of money, it's really hard to find a house that has more than 3 bedrooms or costs more than about $300,000. Financially, it's been pretty stable and has kept its property taxes manageable because Broadview diversified among residential, commercial, and industrial sectors. For decades, ICE has used its building there to quietly process immigrants that they've arrested. But when federal agents flooded into the region last fall, that ICE building became a de facto detention center and a major protest site where feds responded aggressively to the protesters. Right. For the village, that bumped up costs like police overtime.
So, Lauren, you and Nader looked at some other communities that also have ICE facilities, but they've had very different financial experiences. I want to hear what you learned.
These other communities outside of Illinois rent their jail space out to ICE, which is a practice that Illinois very specifically barred in 2021. The money that is paid per detainee, at the very least, shields these places from any extra costs, and in some cases can be profitable. The profits prompted Clay County, Indiana, which is out near Terre Haute, to expand its jail in order to be able to take in more immigrants. And those county commissioners have talked about how they were profiting back when it was $55 a day. Mm. Currently, the rate is up to $85.
Nader, I want to talk to you now. Walk us through a little bit about what the costs have been for Broadview. Why are they significant?
Because Broadview is a small village with a small budget, and some of the costs that they've added up are overtime for police officers and firefighters and EMTs. They've also had a lot of legal fees, some of it for a lawsuit where they sued the feds because the feds put up a fence blocking a street in front of the ICE facility. They've also had to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on ambulance runs from the ICE facility. And for Broadview, which has a $21, $22 million budget, 80% of that budget is tied up in contracted union police raises and firefighter raises, other pension payments and fixed costs. And so only about $4 million is available in the village's operating budget. And these costs took up about 10% of that discretionary budget.
So, Nader, Broadview has asked Congress for reimbursement for these expenses and for the businesses that lost revenue. Broadview also wants the ICE facility to close. What do you think about the likelihood? Is that going to happen?
Yeah, well, the first thing that would need to happen would be for the Trump administration to be sympathetic to this request from Broadview and willing to provide federal emergency relief funding, as well as decide to shut down the facility. That all makes it seem pretty unlikely. The Trump administration, in fact, has sought to increase the number of immigration facilities. Broadview's new budget is also counting on this federal reimbursement. And so despite it being unlikely, the mayor has asked members of the Illinois congressional delegation for help, but her spokesperson says none of them have responded to her letter. Their offices, in response to questions from the Sun-Times, said that they're willing to help, but a few of them didn't even receive the letter from the mayor. They're also all Democrats, and if we know anything about the Trump administration, it's unlikely that they'll be the people to sway him.
You heard from the Sun-Times' Nader Issa and Lauren Fitzpatrick. They've been talking about the cost Broadview has incurred from its ICE facility, and producer Marie Mendoza contributed reporting to this story. Weather, partly sunny, a fairly pleasant day. We've got a high of 80 in the far suburbs, but 50 closer to the lake. And then tonight, cloudy and cool, low in the low 50s. Thursday, sunny, very warm, high again near 80. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Lisa Labas. Thank you for listening.